want to start reading some scripture this morning to lay a little foundation for our thought. Is starting in Isaiah 63 and verses 7 and 9. And it says, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to his multitude of his loving kindness. What is this scripture saying? Is it not speaking about our testimony of the Lord? Of tasting of him? We have experienced something about the Lord. Did you know that you have to be reminded of your own blessings from time to time? We have to recall them. We have to remember what the Lord has done for me. It goes on and it says, for he said, surely they are my people and children that will not lie. We're not going to lie about the Lord, are we? Can we lie about the Lord? L-I-E. Listen, the Lord knows that you and I will always tell the truth about him. So like Brother Wright said, when he went down there, he wanted to be able to tell what the Lord had done. And it said, so he was their Savior. And look at verse 9 now. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. Do you feel like the Lord is in your affliction?
Yes.
And the angel of his presence saved them in his love and in his pity. He redeemed them. He bare them. He carried them all the days of old. I'd like to say that he will carry us until we are old and all through our life. I believe he will carry us clear down to the end of our life, even though we turn gray-headed and crippled and weak and all of that. The Lord will be faithful to his people. So I just want to lay that little thought before you, and I'm going to lay some more little thoughts. I've got a bunch of scriptures today. Isaiah 64 in the next chapter, verses 4, 6, and 8. It says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath seen with the eye or by the eye, what he hath prepared for them that wait for him. Do you think that's only in heaven? Do you think that that includes heaven? It includes heaven. You and I are not able to comprehend what heaven is going to be about any more hardly than we can comprehend how bad hell is. But they're both in eternity and they're both real. But I want to say this, that God has prepared some things for you and me in this life. And that's what we want to talk about today. Verse 6. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as the leaf. Now, what does that say? Doesn't that speak to us this morning that we can't trust in our own righteousness? Yet he has prepared something for us in this life as well as in the next life. But I'm going to challenge us this morning, don't trust in your own righteousness. Yes. Recognize you're fallible, recognize your weakness, recognize your humanity, because God does. And God has something prepared for you. Verse 8, it says, we are the clay, and thou art potter. And we are all the work of thy hands. I like those verses. I'm inspired with them this morning. Also another scripture in Isaiah 29 verses 15 and 16. Parts of it says, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? Shall the work say of him, speaking of being the clay in the potter's hands, shall the work say of him, or the thing formed say, he does not understand? Do you ever feel like that God doesn't understand your life? There is no one else that understands you and me better than God. There is no one else, not even your companion, not even your mother and your father, and not even you yourself. You don't even understand yourself like God does. Remember, he's preparing something for us in this life. So we don't want to be as this scripture that says, that which is formed. He formed me this. Have you ever heard people say, why did he make me like this? Why did this come into my life? Why? You ever ask those questions? That is part of our humanity. Don't be tempted to ask why. Say, Lord, show me your will. Show me what you're preparing for me in this life. Then we go to Psalms 138 and 8. And I like this scripture. I remember the Lord giving this to me many, many years ago, and it has stayed with me. And it's still true today. Doesn't matter how old I get. If that scripture was given to me 20 years ago, it still is proving true to me today. And it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He's preparing something for us in this life. He's preparing eternal life. But I want to tell you, he wants to perfect you and me down through our life. Can you look back over your life and see where you were and where you have come to? Did you know you haven't made it? I haven't made it. We still have a ways to go. And the Lord is still wanting to perfect us. And he's still preparing something for us in this life. And so it says, the finishing of that verse is, forsake not the works of thine hands. What's the song say? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars. And what's the rest of it? The sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. It took him 1 week to do all of that, but it takes a lifetime for him to work on us. He's preparing something for you and me in this life. We're going to find out some of what that is. Jeremiah 29:10-11. Thus saith the Lord. I wrote some of these scriptures out to save a little time. He said, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you. I'm going to perform something now in your life. I will visit you, for I know the thoughts that I have toward you, or I think toward you. What are those thoughts? What is the rest of that scripture? Are you familiar with it? Do you believe it? Someone finish the scripture now. I know my thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you what? An expected end. Another little marginal reading said, to give you an end and expectation. Two different things. He's working on me and you to bring us to the end. But all along the way, he's filling out our expectations. What do you expect? What do you expect from the Lord? What are your expectations? Well, his thoughts are thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an end and expectation. Now, considering that scripture, now I'm going to put you on the spot again. I want you to tell me who is this talking about. when it is said, and it's spoken in the New Testament, and it says, ye have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Who's he talking about there? It's in James 5 and 11. Let's turn there and find out who is the Lord speaking about there. Or who is the writer speaking? Ye have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Who was he referring to there? Job. It says, you've seen the patience of Job. If we went back and Sister Mary last week, she talked about Job. She talked about Naomi. She talked about Joseph, I believe. And did she talk about any others in her message? What was the message on last Sunday, those of you that were here? Bitter and sweet. And a lot of this that I've gotten this week has been an inspiration of what her message was about. We're carrying this a little bit farther this morning because the Lord, in all of those lives that she named, and there could be many more named, and we're bringing out Job right here because you've seen the patience of Job. Do you have patience with yourself? Do you have patience with your life? Do you have patience this morning to endure hardness as a good soldier? Do you have patience to wait on the Lord? Did you know it takes a lot of patience to wait on the Lord until he brings to pass that which he's working in your life? He's the potter, remember. You're the clay. You're just a lump of clay in his hands. Now, over there in Jeremiah, he said in one place, told Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. I'm going to show you something. And he took him to the potter, and the potter had a lump of clay, and he formed a vessel, and it marred in his hands. And what happened then? He made another vessel. So what if we fail? Is that the end? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you really want to go to heaven? Do you really want to live for the Lord? I'll tell you what, if you really want to live for the Lord, God will make a way for you to live for the Lord. Yeah. And he will take that vessel. I've told this before, but the Lord gave this to me specifically. How that I had this, I was standing in this bookstore, an old bookstore, filled with books. Lauren was in there, and I was just enduring it because I'm not a big book person. And I'm standing here just sort of like this, waiting for him to get through, and my eye catches a book. The title of it gets my attention, and I go and pick it up, and I look at it, and I buy it, and I start reading it, and it turns out that it was a book that I had read before, but I reached a certain point in this person's life that it turned me off. It was a true story, and I won't take the time to tell the whole story, but I'll tell you this part. Later in this woman's life, her husband died. She had two little children, and she was in despair, and she had a dream. When I read this book, I came to the same place, the same reaction. I was so turned off by the materialistic parts of that book, I just closed it, and I said, I'm not reading this book. And the Lord spoke to me that time, and he said, finish the book. And I said, okay. So I was reading it and came to this part where her husband died and all of these hard things came in her life. And she felt broken. And she had this dream. The Lord gave her a dream. And she was in a field and she saw a little hut. And the door was open and she went and stepped inside of it. And here was a potter building a vessel. And behind him was shelves that had beautiful vessels that he had made. He never looked up at her. He just kept on working, and all of a sudden a beautiful vessel just fell and broke in the floor. And the potter took that vessel and all of the pieces, and he dipped his hand in a molten liquid and began to mend that vessel and put it back together. And then he looked up at her and he said, "Better is a broken vessel mended by the Holy Spirit than a vessel that has never been broken." Did you know that when you and I are broken and God mends us, it changes us? And God wanted me to read that part. I was in a broken place at that very moment, at that very time. I was a broken vessel. And by faith, I believed that God could mend my vessel. And he did. He restored me, and he revisited me. He revived me. He renewed my zeal. That's what he wants. See, he's working all along the way. Does that mean I still have the exact same zeal? I'm going to tell you I don't. I have to still seek every day, "Lord, do something for me today." I'm not at the end of the way. And you're going to have to seek for the Spirit of the Lord to work in your life every day too. Every day. So here we have the work of his hand. We are the clay. He is the potter. He's performing something in your life and in my life every day till the end of your life. I look around and I see, and I might cry, I see these young couples and these young children. And I was there once, but I'm not there now. And we can't choose a space of our life and stay there. We've got to keep going with time. And after a while, we get the wrinkles, and we get the gray hair, and we get the aches and the pains, and we grow old. And we keep on until it comes down to the end of our life. And we look at all of these that are raising their families now, all of these that are maybe anticipating a family, a life. And someday, if you live, you'll be where I am. And God has a plan and a purpose. And he's preparing something for each one of us till the end of our life. And every day I am like clay in the potter's hands, and he's doing something with my life, and he's doing something with your life. So now we're going to change just a little bit. We're going to go to a scripture in Psalm 75, and we're going to look at verses 6 and 8. This says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south." But go, skip down to verse 8. I really don't want verse 7. "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and it is full of mixture." And that's all I want to do out of that verse. I want to get our attention that God has a cup for you, and your name is on it, and nobody else's name is on that cup. Do you believe that? He has a cup in his hand, and he's offering it to every one of us, and it has your name on it. And what's in that cup? It says it's full of mixture. In other words, like Sister Mary brought out, and she talked about the lives of those individuals from the Bible, was it all sunshine and roses all along the way for all of those? They every one had some bitterness in their cup. But they had some good things too, didn't they? Can you look back over your life up to this time and say, I've had some good things and I've had some bad things? Most of the time, maybe young people might. Did young people ever have trouble? I did. Brother Danny Adams was telling in the little funeral service yesterday for his mother. He was describing things that his mother had influenced him in his life. I want to tell you, if they have a recording of that funeral, I hope you can listen to it. It was the most precious funeral I about have ever been to, partly because both of those sons preached her funeral. I've very rarely seen family members preach their own mother's funeral, but this was precious. But he was describing a time when he was young, teenager, and he was having trouble and sorrow and grief and discouraged. And he said his mother was working in the kitchen and he was sitting up on the kitchen counter. Now you can just see this teenage boy sitting up there on the counter and his mother working. And he's saying all of these, what he's going through is so bad. I'm so discouraged. I just hope that I have a wreck and die. That's what he said to his mother. His mother was one that always had words of wisdom for her sons. She kept on her work and she said, son, you don't always die in a wreck. Sometimes you're maimed for life. He said, that got my attention. I didn't say that again. You know, sometimes we just have to be awakened, even when we're young, to thoughts that are not beneficial to life. So young people have trouble too. Middle-aged people have trouble too. And old people have trouble sometimes too. It is part of life. It is part of your cup. And I don't see any way that you can't drink it. Because every person in this world, even if they don't take the way of the cross, even if they don't take the way of God, they still have a cup. And it's still full of mixture. It's only a benefit when you say, Lord, have thine own way. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. It's the only way. You've got a cup. And then when you and I submit to what's in our cup, only then can it work for us. If I resist it, don't you remember about Paul when the light shone and the voice said, it's hard to kick against the pricks, isn't it? See, the Lord was trying to get a hold of him all that time. And he finally had to bring him to a place that he struck him down. I want to tell you, willingly take the cup because it has your name on it. And he knows what's best in your life. Even when it hurts, even when it's hard, even when it seems like it'll destroy you, but you won't be destroyed. He'll mend you. Even when you're broken, he can mend us. So, I want you to keep that thought in your mind, but I want us to look now at verse 6 again. What is promotion? Does anybody here like promotion? Anybody have a job that they would like to have promotion? What is promotion? Step up. What else? What is promotion? Chris, what is promotion? Tell me what you think. Promotion, what does it mean? What?
Elevation of responsibility.
It is always up. That's good. What else is promotion? More responsibility, but more what?
Reward.
So it's always up. It's all of these things that you've said is right. But I'm going to give you definitions from the dictionary. It says to make successful. Did you know that when you're promoted, it's because you have deserved it, you've earned it, and it shows that you're successful and it's always up. And yes, it's more responsibility to advance, to contribute to the progress, development, and growth. That's promotion. When you were in school and you were promoted from the first grade to the second grade, what did that mean? You mastered this one, this first grade, and you went to the second grade. And when you got to the 11th grade, and you failed? Were you promoted or were you held back? No, you were promoted to that final 12th grade, and then you graduated. It also says to honor. Now, let's consider this verse. This verse says, for promotion cometh neither from the east. Isn't this sort of obscure? So what does the east mean? You don't get promotion from the east. What does that mean? You know what the east means? Think about it. What happens in the east? Sunrise. What does sunrise represent, Linda? Beginning. Youth. Young. Fresh. Strong. The day is new. And all of a sudden, you think you can do everything. That's why I almost cry. I remember feeling that way. I was stronger when I was younger. But promotion does not come just because you're young and strong and youthful. This promotion, this success, it doesn't happen just because you've got it all figured out. What?
You started right.
It doesn't come just because you started right. It has to come from something else. And so, promotion does not come from your youth or from the east. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
And then it goes on and it says, promotion does not come from the west. What does the west mean? What happens in the west? The sun goes down. Is that the closing of a person's life? That could represent the closing, the age of a person when they're older. Is that where promotion comes from? Is that how God says, well, you can't get it when you're young, but by the time you get old, then I'll promote you? It doesn't come that way. These things that God has prepared
for you in this life, it really has to come before you get there. I'm not saying it can't happen there, but it's not likely. There are very, very, very few old people that find God in the end of their life. Very few. I was hearing a story about this man. I believe he was an old man. He had never been saved. 77. And God dealt with that man and he got saved. He's now 81 and he has lived for the Lord since age 77. That's not normal. We wish it were, but it's not. The scripture says, remember what in your youth? Remember what? Remember what? Remember. What does it say? I don't have it here. Remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. Before the days come. We had a message on this not long ago about the days that are not very pleasant. So we need to seek the Lord in our youth, but that's not where promotion comes from, and it doesn't come from the West. The West would represent the evening time, older years, like we said. And then it says, promotion does not come from the South. So what's that represent? What happens? What do you think of in the South? Isn't it warm breezes and laid-back people down there on the beach? And they're just lazy, sort of. And the South would be a relaxed atmosphere. It would be soft. Do you see that? Promotion does not come from those things. Remember that. What does the scripture say about being on our knees? Not knees, but it's like that. What does it say about settling on our knees? Someone look the scripture up for me. But there's something in the word that says, it's a warning to us to settle on our knees. Look that scripture up. Someone read it. It comes to my mind. I cannot remember all of it. There is something that you and I must be warned about. Promotion is not going to come from an easy life. Promotion is not going to come from roses all along the way. It's just not going to happen. And if that's happening to you, you better stop and say, Lord, what's happening in my life? What's happening? Has anyone got that scripture? Settle on lees.
Yeah. Zephaniah 1.
Okay. All right. Say, read it.
It shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees.
I thought there was another scripture.
That say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil.
What does a settling on your lees means? It's just relaxing. Sit back. I don't really believe. Hey, I've got a scripture about something like that in a little bit. Let's ask you this, though. What's left out of this scripture?
North.
The North. What does the North represent? What does the North represent? Well, you ought to know of all people. Where are you going? Where are you headed? He's headed to the Arctic Ocean. What do you think he's going to find there?
Cold.
Hard. Wind. Freezing temperatures.
Let's see, I have harsh conditions. Isn't it going to be harsh conditions where you're going? Didn't you tell me that you were going to be on this gravel road? It's not a paved road. It's not fast driving your truck. Physically challenging, hard struggles. Those are things, it says, promotion comes from the north. Promotion comes from cold and bitterness and hard places and struggles. And do you see where your promotion is going to come from? So do we go back to Sister Mary's message now on bitterness and sweet? There's something working in your life and in my life when God brings us through these hard places, if we let Him. If you submit to it, if you allow Him to mold you and make you like He wants you to be, and you present your little lump of clay and say, Lord, do it. Do it. I've told you all this before. I've always been interested in clay. When I was taking art in the 7th and 8th grade. And then later I was at this place and watching this woman on an electric wheel forming a vessel. They can form them very fast when it's electricity. And she's constantly feeling as it's spinning around. And she has her hands wet and she has them trained. And I said, what are you feeling for? She said, I am feeling for the smallest pebble, the smallest little rock. And I said, well, what's so important about that? She said, if I don't find it before I put it in the keel, it will explode. God's doing that with you and me. He has us on the potter's wheel. And He's saying, this isn't going to work. Where is the keel going to be in my life? In your life? Where is the final keel going to be? You know what a keel is. Extremely high temperatures for baking clay to make it a vessel that can be used. And I believe He puts us in these hot places all along the way, and He tempers us. He still is working on us, but there's coming an oven that will prove our life. And if we have not submitted to Him trying to take out the smallest little pebble before we get to that point, our vessel will explode and be of no use. Lord, help us. I don't, and that's a good one to fit right here. Don't think it strange of the fiery trials, which is to try you, try me. But the scripture I did have down here was, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before God put these things in my life, I found myself slipping. I found myself not seeing the light in the same vision. Our deliverance was in a time of affliction. It works something for us in our life. When He brings hard places, that's when He begins to promote us. He begins to honor, and He begins to help us to develop in growth and progress and advance and become successful. It's when we resist it, when we say no. I'm not going to let that happen to me. I'm not going to taste. I'm not drinking this cup. Did Jesus have a cup? What did He say about His cup? He even asked the Father to take it from Him. But what was his words after that? But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. How many times did he ask for that? 3 times. Do you think that you and I might sometime even say, Lord, do I have to drink this cup? And then say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I know you're working something in my life. Let's let him work. That clock is stopped. I just now realized it.
I'm going to tell you that.
I thought I had it. Well, I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures, and that's all. And the other scripture is Psalms 138 and 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. What does the word midst mean? In the middle of it. Though I walk in the very middle of trouble, who can quote the rest? Thou wilt do what? Revive me. Thy right hand shall save me. I want to tell you today that you and I need to submit to the cup and have confidence that God's going to bring us through. And he's going to bring us out into a wealthy place. We will have success.
Thank the Lord.
We will have the honor. Do we want honor? That doesn't sound real good, does it? It sounds like worldly honor, but it's not worldly honor that we're talking about. I believe the Lord wants to honor his people that are willing to just say, Lord, do with me as you wish. Now, if you'll finish with me in Psalm 77, I want to speak to you just a little bit about David and see if you don't understand or have the same feeling sometime. And I'm going to just be skipping down through that chapter 1 and 2. I'll tell you which verses I'm going to be reading. He started out and he said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. Wait. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Verse 6. I called to remembrance my song in the night. Have you ever had so much trouble that you were awake all the night? Have you ever had a song come to you in the night? Did you know it's precious? But God can minister to us even when we're not sleeping. He'll give us a song in the night. I commune with mine own heart. My spirit made diligent search. What are you searching for in the midst of trouble? Are you looking at everybody else that has their problems? Everybody else that has their faults? Everybody else that has maybe hurt me? No. Right here. We got to search this heart. Verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? Do you feel like he's left you forever? There are many, many, many places in the Word of God where it says that they feel like he's not there. Job said it. I can't find him on this side and this side. I can't find him here. I can't find him there. But he knows the way that I take. That's what we have to do. And it says, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? That's human thinking. That's humanity beginning to think, he won't listen to me anymore. He's not there. He doesn't hear my prayers. David felt that way. Verse 9. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Verse 10. And he said this. David said this. This is my infirmity. But now he begins to change. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. It will pay you and me when we come into the dark places to start remembering something. He said it again, verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. What has the Lord done for you? I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. If I can't think of something in my life right then, get the word of God and look in the wonders of old. Let it encourage you. And then verse 12, I will meditate. See, two times he says, I will remember. And now he says, I'm going to meditate. What does it mean to meditate? It means to stop and think about it and let it sink down into my heart and my mind. I will meditate also of all thy work. And then what's the last thing he does there? And talk of thy doings. I'm going to tell it. I've got a testimony now. You know, Natasha had the sweetest little, she just had a little sweet testimony last Sunday when Sister Mary was preaching this, and Sister Mary even brought it out. And Natasha said at prayer time, she said, I thank the Lord that some hard things have come into my life and the Lord is showing me it's working for my good. Just a little simple testimony. She's talking about it. And the Lord is wanting every one of us to not only remember, but meditate and then come to service and tell it. Talk about it. Well, you don't have to wait till you get to service. You can talk about it at home. Talk about it with your children. Talk about it with your relatives and talk about it. And in verse 13, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Where's the sanctuary? In our little, we could count it, our little congregation. Thy way, O Lord, is in the little congregation. Who is so great a God as our God? God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? All of this brought a song to my mind. And I know someone that was in my family that was engaged to be married to a minister. And they had someone else that cared for them. And that other person called and begged them, don't marry him. Marry me. And this person said that the Lord gave her this song. And the chorus goes like this. Your roses may have thorns, but don't forget. Your thorns may have some roses too. If only this person could have held on to that. But her life ended in divorce and remarriage. So in your life, you can have some roses, but they have thorns. But your thorns will have some roses too. Let me read you the one verse of this song. And you might question it. I questioned it a little bit. It said, the sorrows that have come to you unbidden have often brought a peace before unknown. I saw, oh Lord, it took a while for me to know that there was peace from a sorrow. And it does take time. Irma's shaking her head, yes. She knows what it is to lose a husband. To have the grief. We all have tasted of grief of some kind. And you don't get over it overnight, in a week or a month. It does take time, but in time, this writer is unknown, but somebody knew that somewhere the thorns, the sorrows that were unbidden, produced a peace that was only found in that way. And then here's what I want to read to you. The maker of your destiny is striving
Who's the maker of our destiny? The potter. We're the clay. And it said, to fit your heart to be his royal throne. Your heart. He's working so that he can live. He can make your heart and my heart a royal throne. So that's our little message today. Promotion comes from hard things. Promotion that really means success. That really means advancement. And yes, when we're promoted, we have more responsibility. Pray for me. Sister Mary's little message stirred my heart. Because I looked back over my own life and I saw a lot of bitter things. But I saw a lot of good things. And I saw that God was the potter and I was the clay. And that he had a cup for me to drink. And you know what? I'm not through drinking that cup. And if you're here alive this morning, you're not through either. I want to drink it all, don't you? Whatever the Lord has for it in me, he's preparing me for the end of my life, to give me an expected end.